In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the Gospel teaches us today of an important and a very rare virtue. To give thanks to God. We speak of it some, but really, in its essence, very few of us give thanks to God. The Gospel, as is often the case, presents a teaching, but does not present the fullness of that teaching. That fullness must come from the Holy Spirit inspiring us, and from us living and learning. So the Gospel is just sort of a summary here. We see that the one leper gives thanks by glorifying God with a loud voice. Of course, there is much more to giving thanks than just that. But the Gospel teaches very clearly that when God does something for us, we must give thanks. Now, there are some nuances and some interesting little twists in this story. The Lord is entering into a certain village, and he sees men that are lepers. Leprosy is a disease that's almost been eradicated, certainly in the industrialized world. It still exists countries along the equator that don't have modern medicine or don't have good access to it. The modern name for it is Hansen's disease, and it causes the limbs to become white and lose blood and to fall off. So, usually it's the cool places of the body, so the fingers, the toes, the nose, the ears, those are the places that especially are affected, and they become white and will sometimes fall off. And so there's great disfigurement from leprosy. So it's a terrible physical disease, but it was interpreted by the Jews as being a sign of spiritual uncleanness. And to us also, when leprosy is referred to in the scriptures, it makes us remember our own uncleanness. Not in terms of a physical malady, but in terms of our sin. So there are these lepers, and they're standing afar off. And the reason why is because when a person's unclean, they can't be close to God. Now, for the Jews, they were labeled as unclean just because of a physical malady, and they couldn't be close to people. They couldn't touch people, because then that person would be considered unclean and had to go through a long ritual of washings in order to be cleansed. They lifted up their voices and they said what basically amounts to the Jesus prayer. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They have a terrible malady. They don't need to say, Jesus, cleanse us of our leprosy. Jesus, make us clean. All they need say is, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And to this day, now we say the Jesus prayer generally in the form of, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Or sometimes a longer way, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. But the basic form of this prayer has been shown in the scriptures, both with these lepers and also with the blind man who said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So, brothers and sisters, this is teaching us, you don't need to pray in any kind of complicated way. You don't need to remind God of all the things that you need. Give him a list, as if he doesn't know, as if not saying it, that particular thing you need somehow will not work with proper magic so that you'll get what you need. You don't need to say all those things. All you need say is, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, and for your loved ones as well. That's all you really need to say. If you say it with your heart, then God will hear you. He knows what you need. He knows everything that you need. And he knew what those lepers needed, and they knew it too. So all they did was ask for mercy. Of course, we must understand what mercy is if we are to fully understand this prayer. In our society, we have come to a definition of mercy that means to withhold punishments to withhold judgment. Someone who deserves to be judged and is forgiven is said to have received mercy. That is not mercy in the Christian sense. Mercy in the Christian sense is God reaching out and helping His people in everything. We ask Him for help in everything we need, and He gives it to us because He is merciful. He is not withholding punishment from the guilty. He is giving of His love to everyone. So therefore, the guilty and the not guilty receive mercy from God. But mercy from God is only effectual for our salvation when we respond to it. You know, in the Scriptures it says the rain falls on the evil and the good. That rain is the mercy of God and the Holy Spirit helping all men, believers and unbelievers. But rain only helps those places that are prepared for it. Rain does not help anywhere in hard-packed ground or ground that is covered by concrete. Rain only helps prepared ground. God's mercy will only help you if you receive it. It certainly will be given to you freely, but you must prepare yourself to receive it. So I would advise you, say the Jesus Prayer often. There's no reason why you need to listen to the radio on the way to work. It's not going to say anything of consequence or anything important. You could instead have a prayer rope, a chart key, and you could say the Jesus Prayer for yourself and for your loved ones. It's a very good and salvific habit to be into. Don't be so concerned if when you say, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, and the next time you're about to say it, you start to think that you have to pick up your dry cleaning, or that you're angry about something, or that this person just cut you off in traffic. All those are just thoughts. Just cast them out. Just get back to saying the prayer. That's why the Jesus Prayer is so helpful, because it's simple intellectually. Just a few simple words. In fact, St. Paul says he would rather pray 5 words with understanding than 1,000 in a tongue. In Greek, the language in which he was writing, the Jesus Prayer is 5 words. But if you find yourself with your mind wandering, or even with yourself thinking a sinful thought or something, you can get right back to the prayer. It's not like losing your place in a book where you have to find it again with your finger and you're in the middle of a thought. Maybe you have to reread the previous sentence because you don't know where you're at and you kind of forgot. The Jesus Prayer is simple. So I advise you, daily say this prayer, because God wishes to give all of His mercy to you, but you must ask. And if you say this prayer with attention, then God will help you in all things. If you say this prayer without attention, but with the desire to have attention, God will give you His mercy, and He will help you to become attentive. So there's no reason not to say this prayer. It doesn't matter if your mind flits back and forth like some sort of little bird. It doesn't matter. Just keep saying it with attention, with desire for God's mercy, for Him to help you in all things. Certainly, there must be many things that you need God's help with, and that your loved ones need God's help with. So, this is an example in the Scripture of where a teaching is presented just in its very bare form. The Jesus Prayer is given in the Scriptures. But then, the experience of the Church, with the Holy Spirit inspiring, has taught us about this prayer. So the Scripture presents it, and then in the life of the Church, with the Holy Spirit giving us wisdom, we learn about it. Now, when the Lord saw these lepers crying out, Lord Jesus, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us, they must have been crying out very loud. Since they were far off, they were shouting. So that shows something. You've got to be fervent in your prayer. You don't have to shout in your prayer. You don't even have to say your prayer aloud. But it has to be fervent. There has to be desire in your prayer. And he saw them and he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Now that is a rather odd thing to say. It's akin to when he put mud in the man's eyes who were blind and said, "Go wash." What is this for? He didn't heal them then. He told them to go to the priests. On the way, they were healed. So this is typical of the way our life is. Many times there are things that we don't understand, that don't make much sense. We don't know why we should do them. We don't know why we're told to do them. But in doing them, we gain understanding. A lot of people are like this with fasting. They have no idea why we should fast. And they think of it only as some sort of onerous burden, something difficult to do. And why would I do it? It doesn't make any sense. It just makes me crabby. Or it just makes me weak. Well, a person who fasts with effort will be able to tell you why you fast. Because fasting makes us strong. Fasting opens up our hearts so that we can receive God's grace. It's just the fact that that happens. And so, how do you learn that? By doing it and having it occur. There's a saying that's especially popular in monastic ideas, and that is that first obedience, then understanding. Sometimes we just need to obey, and then we will understand later. Not blind obedience. Not obedience because you think it's some rule that otherwise, you know, lightning's going to come down from heaven and strike you dead. Not that type of obedience. That's fear. But to do things that are right, maybe not completely understanding them. And so, these lepers went to the priest in all of their disfigurement. And on the way, they were cleansed. Now, the reason he told them to go to the priests is because they would need to go to the priest after their healing. Because there would be a procedure that the priest goes through to make sure that they are truly cleansed. He would actually examine them. And then there would be washings and a sacrifice to make them completely clean. And so they needed to go to the priest. But on the way, being healed, they all noticed they're clean. They no longer have their disfigurements. Their fingers are back. Their nose and their ears are intact. What a glorious thing. What a magnificent thing. So 9 of them just kept going to the priest to fulfill the letter of the law. One of them was so thrilled, knowing that he'd been healed by Christ, ran back to him and gave glory to him in a loud voice. Don't just fulfill the letter of the law, brothers and sisters. The letter kills. The Spirit is what gives life. The idea behind going to the priest is to give thanksgiving to God. But if God is present, why need to go to a human priest? Go to God who's standing in their midst. And he did. Now this man was a Samaritan. Samaritans were basically, in a crude way we could say, they were the heretics among the Jews. The Jews considered them to be an unclean people because they had mixed in some teachings that were not correct, that were pagan, and they didn't get along at all. To call someone a Samaritan was worse than calling them a dog. But this Samaritan came back to Christ being fully healed by Christ, who does not differentiate. He gives his mercy to everyone. Not everyone receives it, but he will give it to everyone. And he points out that this man was a Samaritan. Of course, our Lord himself called himself a Samaritan, didn't he? In the parable of the Good Samaritan, he was that Samaritan that gave healing to the man by the road. What did he say about this Samaritan that came back to give thanks? "Arise and go thy way, thy faith had made thee whole." There's many times in the scripture where that kind of thing is said, "thy faith had made thee whole." And it's different aspects of faith that are being pointed out. In the case of the centurion, it was his humility and his obedience that made his servant whole, that faith. In the case here, the leper was giving thanks to God. And thanksgiving is absolutely necessary for us to receive and may and retain the mercy of God. Remember, Scripture is always about you. You read the story, you better put yourself in the place of the 9 lepers and the 1 leper. And compare and contrast, how are you like them? Well, we're like them in that we are unclean. There's a lot inside us that we wouldn't want other people to see, but we know it's there. God knows it's there. And the purpose of Christianity is to be able to get rid of it all. So we know we're unclean. So we're like lepers. We also know that our uncleanness disfigures us, makes us unable to see truth as it is, makes us have wrong opinions, makes us mess up relationships, makes us feel out of sorts, not right about things. So we have an uncleanness in us that disfigures us. The 9 lepers, they were cleansed, but they didn't receive benefit from their cleansing. So are we cleansed sometimes and not having benefit from that cleansing? That's a question you must ask yourself. Do you fulfill rules without understanding? What about the 1 leper? He was as unclean as the others, but upon being cleansed, he gave thanks to God. Do you give thanks to God? How often do you pray? There's a marvelous book that many of us have read, a classic, The Count of Monte Cristo. It actually shows extremely good example of biblical thankfulness. The thief, who was in a fight with the main character after he escaped from prison, would have been killed. But he was given mercy by this man. He said, I'm not going to kill him. And because of that, he said, I will follow you and obey you the rest of my life. And he did. And when that man began to lose himself, the thief brought about this man's salvation in a secular sense, his salvation. An excellent example of thanksgiving. It's not just saying thanks. I mean, you can go to a million churches around here, people have their hands in the air and say thanks. That's not what thanksgiving is. Thanksgiving is about how you live. So if you give thanks to God that He has become man and has given you of Himself so that you could have eternal life, then live like it. That's how you show thanks. Obey Him and forgive those who hurt you just as He forgives you. Be kind to those who are unkind to you just as He was. Basically, imitate and emulate the one who has cleansed you. That is the sign of thanksgiving. It's not what you say, it is what you do. Now, you must also say things. But how we act proves the kind of person we are. So this leper only said aloud with his thanksgiving to God. But we know that thanksgiving is more than just that. This is to remind us. This is to be like a little pin that pricks us and say, are you living in a way that you're showing thanks to God or not? You have to decide that. The Scripture should be something that makes you pray and makes you think about yourself and your relationship to God. It shouldn't be just words that you read. If that's all the Scripture is to us, then it really doesn't matter if we read it or not. You have to read it with expectation and with desire and by placing yourself in it and saying, what kind of man, what kind of woman am I? Which leper am I? So, may God help you, brothers and sisters, to live with thanksgiving I'll tell you one thing that's going to help you a lot. That prayer that we spoke about, the Jesus prayer. Say it. If you're not in the habit of praying much, many times people will tell me that they have a lot of trouble praying in the morning. Things are too busy, blah, blah, blah. I get up too late, everything's too rushed, etc., etc. Well, it's never too rushed when you're driving in your car to have your chotki and to say the Jesus prayer. You're not going anywhere. It's a very good time. And it's a good way to show to God that you're really serious. You don't need to listen to whatever morning moron is on the radio. You don't have to do that. You can listen instead to your voice asking God for mercy. So I recommend that you do that. And if you do it on a regular basis, there will be a changing in your soul. And you'll become softer. And you'll become more aware of God's mercy. And by becoming more aware of it, you will become even more thankful. Try it. See if it works. I guarantee you it will. It always does. If you pray with attention, or like I said, with inattention but a desire to have attention, God will help you and will give you His mercy. Amen.